All right, I'm going to read our passage today. It's going to be two different parts of Judges chapter 5, and we're essentially going to be covering Judges chapters 4 and 5, but this part is the song of the victory that was won against the Canaanites. So we are going to be reading Judges 5 verses 1 through 11, and then picking up at 24 and reading 24 through 31. So, starting in verse 1 of chapter 5. Then sang Deborah and Barak, the son of Abinadab, on that day, that the leaders took the lead in Israel, that the people offered themselves willingly. Bless the Lord. Hear, O kings, give ear, O princes. To the Lord I will sing. I will make melody to the Lord, the God of Israel. Lord, when you went out from Seir, when you marched from the regions of Edom, the earth trembled and the heavens dropped. Yes, the clouds dropped water. The mountains quaked before the Lord, even Sinai before the Lord, the God of Israel. In the days of Shamgar, son of Anath, in the days of Jael, the highways were abandoned and travelers kept to the byways. The villagers ceased in Israel. They ceased to be until I arose. I, Deborah, arose as a mother in Israel. When new gods were chosen, when war was in the gates, was shield or spear to be seen among 40,000 in Israel? My heart goes out to the commanders of Israel who offer themselves willingly among the people. Bless the Lord. Tell of it, you who ride on white donkeys, you who sit on rich carpets, and you who walk by the way, to the sound of musicians at the watering places. There they repeat the righteous triumphs of the Lord, the righteous triumphs of the villagers in Israel. There down at the gates march the people of the Lord. And now going to verse 24. Most blessed of women be Jael, the wife of Heber, the Kenite, of tent-dwelling women, most blessed. He asked for water, and she gave him milk. She brought him curds in a noble's bowl. She sent her hand to the tent peg, to the right hand of the workman's mallet. She struck Sisera. She crushed his head. She shattered and pierced his temple. Between her feet, he sank, he fell, he lay still. Between her feet, he sank, he fell. Where he sank, there he fell, dead. Out of the window she peered. The mother of Sisera wailed through the lattice. Why is his chariot so long in coming? Why tarry the hoofbeats of his chariot? Her wisest princesses answer. Indeed, she answers herself. Have they not found and divided the spoil? A woman or two for every man? Spoil of dyed materials for Sisera? Spoil of dyed materials embroidered? Two pieces of dyed embroidered for the neck as a spoil. So may all your enemies perish, O Lord, but your friends be like the sun as he rises in his might. And the land had rest for 40 years. Let me pray for us. Father in heaven, we pray that your word may go forth in power. We thank you for the reading of your word. We thank you for just our ability to hear it and to receive it. We pray that your spirit would soften us. Now, we pray for those who do not know you, that are far from you, that you would bring us to a knowledge of your grace and your truth. We thank you for this word today, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm not sure if anyone in here listens to country music. Does anybody like country music here? A couple people? More people than I thought. That's great. It is Texas, right? I moved here from Florida. You didn't have as many people that listen to country music in Florida. And in 2001, at the latter part of 2001, there was a song that came out that have these lyrics. And I have a terrible singing voice, so I'm just going to read them for your sake. It goes, "Where were you when the world stopped turning that September day? Where were you? Were you in the yard with your wife and children, or working on some stage in L.A.? Did you stand there in shock at the sight of that black smoke rising against the blue sky? Did you shout out in anger and fear for your neighbor, or did you just sit down and cry? Did you weep for your children? They lost their dear loved ones. Pray for the ones who don't know. Did you rejoice for the people who walk from the rubble and sob for the ones left below? Did you burst out with pride for the red, white, and blue and the heroes who died just doing what they do? Did you look up to heaven for some kind of answer and look at yourself and what really matters? If you've never heard that song, you probably know it's about 9/11. That September day, almost 20 years ago, believe it or not, where our country was attacked. September 11th, 2001, I was a senior in high school. I remember watching it vividly in a classroom, in my calculus classroom. And that song by Alan Jackson just brings back so many memories of what happened on that day and what followed from there. And a lot of the memories are fear. Fear of what was going to happen. Fear, really, that everything was going to change from there on forward. And we use songs as human beings to express something that happened. There are other songs that I could have used. If you've ever heard of U2, they have a song called Bloody Sunday that speaks to an event that happened in Ireland. And it's very, very powerful for the Irish people. And actually, we as Americans are able to enter into that story as well. And what we as non-Israelites are able to do is enter into the Jewish story here in this song that we hear Deborah and Barak singing, the song that was of them conquering the Canaanite people, who were a vicious people, who were a horrible people. And so rather than having fear being the memory that most of us would have, It is one of hope, one of hopefulness, as they cried out and God came and saved them from their sin, from their idolatry, and also saved them from the terror that was over them with these people, with the Canaanite people. Judges as a whole has this incredible cyclical nature to it. The people of God sin, and they follow after other gods. That's the first step. The second step is that God enables another group of people to take them over. 2 weeks ago, we talked about the Moabites that took over God's people, and then Ehud that was raised up. The third part of the Judges' cyclical story is that the people cry out to God, and God answers them. And he answers them by raising up a person to rescue them, a savior, you could even say, a redeemer to rescue them. And what's interesting about this passage is that there's a lot in how that redemption takes place. It's more than just one person. There's actually four different things that happen here. So before we get too far, I want to give you kind of two things we're going to talk about. The first is the issue that's at play that's unique to the story. And then second, the rescue. So the issue and the rescue. So let's set the stage for this passage. Deborah here is the worship leader, and she leads this song in order to give us praise to the Lord. And in verse 3, she indicates that she sings out to kings surrounding Israel and asks them to consider this wonderful Lord that they serve. We see a contrast in verses 4 and 5 and 6 through 8 as we see the fear of the people. And verses 6 through 8 says this: in the days of Jael, the highways were abandoned, and the travelers kept by the byways. The villagers ceased in Israel. They ceased to be until I arose, I, Deborah, arose as mother in Israel. And then further down it says, with shield or spear to be seen among 40,000 in Israel. What this song is saying is that there was great fear and terror for the people. They were scared for their lives, because the Canaanites were vicious. They would not be seen being on the highways. They couldn't travel freely. There was no freedom, essentially, for them. They had to hide. They had to be covered. And then, again, arose Deborah, this woman, this mother of Israel, the text tells us, who was there to care for the people. The people of God are in this fearful state. They are so afraid of what might happen. I want to tell you a quick story. On October 6th of 2016, our son was born. He will be 5 later this year. But my wife and I rushed to the hospital, and we were living in Orlando, Florida at the time. And earlier, an hour earlier, I got a phone call from a former student who was then a firefighter, and he said, "You guys need to get to the hospital immediately." He knew that my wife was roughly 38 weeks pregnant at that time, and Hurricane Matthew was barreling toward us. And as a firefighter, he was very aware of it, and he told me, in not mincing words, he said, "We are going to shut down all of the highways, all of the roads. You guys will not be able to get out. So if you want your baby to be born in a hospital, leave now." And I think of that picture because, well, we ended up leaving. And we ended up going to the hospital. And I ended up turning around and coming back to be with my girls who were there. Fortunately, our house did not get hit hard by the hurricane, and everyone was safe. But I wanted to give you that picture because that is what the people of God were facing. This feeling of like, get out of the way. Something awful is happening. If you've ever been near or around a hurricane, you know that the last thing you want to do is to be stranded somewhere because of, you know, like poles falling down, roads being blocked off. There's just danger everywhere. Probably the best thing to do is just bunker down in your house and to have enough supplies for the next couple of days. We faced that a little bit in our little Snowvit events back in November, right? Like, we had to stay home and really care for one another. That's the picture of what it was like for many years for the people of God. The reign of terror for the Canaanites was 20 years. They were facing severe oppression as God's people. And in chapter 4, verse 3, to go back a little bit, we hear the people of God seek out to the Lord. They cried out to the Lord for help, for he, and this is speaking of Sisera, the ruler at that time, had 900 chariots of iron, and he oppressed the people of Israel cruelly for 20 years. The chariots of iron are the modern-day equivalent to tanks running throughout a city. If you've ever seen some of the scenes in Middle Eastern countries where there is kind of this militaristic invasion, that's kind of what you get a picture of. It is awful. They were oppressed, and again, they're running around with these chariots of iron to kind of prove how strong they are. And then as we skip to the end of chapter 5, we hear more of the reign of terror as the military captain's mother sings of his return. And look at Judges 5, verse 30. She says, "Why is the chariot so long in coming? Why tarry the hoofbeats of his chariots?" She answers herself, "Have they not found and divided the spoil, a womb or two for every man?" The mother of Sisera is planning for the spoils, for the gold, the silver, all of those monetary spoils. But then also, the wickedness of the Canaanite people is seen because they desire to take the women and to use them as slaves to produce more children. They will serve the Canaanites in that way to multiply their people. Again, they are vicious. Not only in 2021 is this appalling, this idea of women being subjected to this kind of thing, but also it would create shock for the people in this day where they're forced to feel the horror and the awfulness of wickedness. So putting all of this out there, it's understandable that the issue at hand is that you have fearful Israelites who don't want to go out in the highways, who don't want to be seen, who definitely don't want to send their women or their girls out. They are feared. They are fearful, and they hide, and they remove themselves from the world. But part of it is that there's a problem of being fearful in this passage. The people fear because they've been subjected to evil people, but they're not turning to the Lord. They're turning to their own fear. Deborah brings us this situation. There's little community or continuity in the mission of God for the people. They are frightened and fearful, and thus less able to be the people of God gathered like we are this morning. One thing we see for the people of God is that they have separated themselves from God's word. They're trying to just survive. They are trying to be away from anything that would cause them fear and survive. And so essentially they are trusting in themselves and their own survival techniques. And so I ask you, what is it that you fear that causes you to trust in yourself? That causes you to look at yourself? That causes you to think that I alone can save myself? Often it can be something like financial help or even keeping your family together. How do you first look inwardly to your own efforts or even to your own bootstraps and how you can pick yourself up by your bootstraps and do the work rather than looking on to the Lord and the Spirit's work in your life? And yet, in our stories, as in this story, God is faithful. God is faithful. Though fear drives the story, we hear that God ultimately provides. And I gave you a sneak peek earlier, but God is going to provide, and he is going to rescue his people in four ways, through four different means. So first, he raises up Barak. Barak is the military captain who will lead the people of God against the Canaanites. And this is crazy as we consider verse 8 again, that they were not accustomed to military or even the equipment provided. God raises up novices, including Barak, to do his work. And in verse 12, which we didn't read, it says, "Arise, Barak, lead the captives." Does that sound like a vicious army? Does that sound like people who can do a lot to fight? Not really. But it's a beautiful picture of God taking those who are impoverished and can't help themselves to have a leader and a captain to follow. The second thing that he provides, I think, is probably my favorite in this passage, and it's rain. Now, that seems weird, right? That God would provide rain to rescue his people. Verses in chapter 5, verses 4 through 5, tell us this. "Lord, when you went out from Seir, when you marched from the region of Edom, the earth trembled and the heavens dropped. Yes, the clouds dropped water, rain. The mountains quaked before the Lord, even Sinai before the Lord God of Israel. As the clouds dropped this water, as this rain came out, there was something that happened with those mighty chariots. They got stuck." And in this context, in Israel, in this place, it would be bizarre to have rain that would cause chariots or any kind of technology to be slowed down, because it was an extremely arid climate. Think something like Arizona, kind of arid. And so very infrequently it would rain, and it would be extremely rare that it would flood and cause so much rain that you would have an issue with your chariots. And so we see in this story, if you turn back to chapter 4, verse 15, I'm not going to look at it, but I'll just tell you that the Lord provides the victory, and the Lord routed Sisera and all his chariots and all his army before Barak. It was in large part because God provided the storm to cause Sisera to fight on foot, and their ancient tanks were of no use. God provided through that means. The third way is through Deborah, who I think is one of the most interesting women in the Bible. She has such a unique role here. In chapter 5, verse 7, she's referred to as the mother of Israel. And actually, in chapter 4, she's referred to as a prophetess who provides wisdom for God's people. Now, some will say that it's because there was a deficiency of men that she had to be raised up, and that's possible. But to the contrary, I think that she actually provides an incredible motherly presence to help care for God's people, to help raise them up. So she's really kind of an encourager for God's people. And so she is this amazing picture of a leader who doesn't have to be up front, who doesn't have to be charging up ahead, but provides leadership in her encouragement. And the fourth picture of rescue in this passage is amazing. It's this woman, Jael. And I don't know if you caught it from this passage. And I'm gonna read it again because it's so interesting. So Judges chapter 5, starting in verse 24. I know we're looking a lot at the text this evening. So it says this, "Most blessed women of Jael, the wife of Heber, the Kenite, of tent-dwelling women, most blessed. He asked for water, and she gave him milk. She brought him curds in the noble's bowl. She sent her hand to the tent peg. In her right hand of the workman's mallet, she struck Sisera. She crushed his head. She shattered and pierced his temple. Between her feet, he sank, he fell, he lay still." And I'm not going to read the rest of it because it essentially says the same thing, but it's in kind of a melodic term. So what's so interesting about this is that Jael was most likely not Jewish. And we know this because Heber, the Kenite, is not of Jewish descent, but they are tent-dwelling people. And oftentimes, tent-dwelling people, the woman was the one who had actually set up the tents. And this is not the easy-made tents that we have now that you can go pick up at REI or somewhere else. These, you have to have a rope, and you have to have someone that nails in the tent peg. And I mentioned to you earlier that it's a very arid climate, that it's like Arizona. Can you imagine driving a tent peg into ground like it would be in Arizona? It's very, very hard. This woman has an incredibly strong, most likely right arm to be able to strike a tent peg into the ground. And because of that, God, in his wisdom, in his providence, raises up this woman who most likely was not of Jewish descent to rescue the Jewish people by luring this man, Sisera, into her tent, giving him milk, helping him fall asleep, and crushing his head. It's as simple as that. It's a crazy, amazing story, but we hear that, and so what I also want you to see is this, that justice is provided to God's people, and that's really what I want you to take from this, is that this is a song about God's justice. It's this flipping of the narrative. These people, the Canaanites, that were just vicious, that were rough, that wanted to take away women to use them as baby makers, essentially. And here's a woman who is camping her tent with the people of God, and she ends up crushing the head of the leader. And because of this, the Jewish people overtake the Canaanites. There is an unnecessary division in the church between what is holy and what is unholy, what is sacred and what is secular. And what I want to encourage you is, if you're not in vocational ministry, the Lord is using your hands in some unique ways. The Lord is using your hands in some unique ways. And so I would encourage you to be aware of how God might be using you for his glory. It might not be just to work for 40 years, retire, and be done. My grandfather, one of the things that the Lord used him for is that he put him in a family where there had been about 15 generations, we know of at least, carpenters, and then he was an engineer. And so he learned carpentry at a very young age. He retired very early. I think he was like 62. And he had been faithful to his church, and upon retirement, ended up having an incredible ministry. He still is living, but not able to do things like this, where he is able to fix up mission homes so that missionaries coming back can have a place where they can live. Places that were just wrecked. And he has been able to use his talents, both in his mind as well as with his hands, for the glory of God. And it may not be carpentry, it may not actually be your physical hands, it may be some kind of knowledge that the Lord has given you. There is nothing that is outside of God's ability to use. So I want to encourage you of that, and then also I want you to hear of an amazing black spiritual that speaks to this. It's called "Be Still, God Will Fight Your Battles." And what ends the song is that God will fight your battles if you just be still. if we don't try to work out our own life and our own sanctification and our own salvation, if we just allow the Spirit to work in us and through us, God will fight our battles. God has fought your battles. He has sent the best warrior, one that is better than the combination of Barak, the Rain, Deborah, and Jael. He took on oppression and he fought for justice, and that is found in the person of Jesus Christ. And we don't come here to worship Jael or Deborah or Barak or Rain because we know that Christ carried the cross of shame and was nailed to it willingly. He went to the cross willingly to be unjustly killed for our sake. And so if you are not a Christian today, this is an invitation to know that your future is secure in Christ. This is the opportunity to put your faith and trust in Jesus alone. If you're a Christian, I hope this is an invitation for you to really fear the Lord and just and see him at work, and also to really ask, in what ways have my hands been, can I use my hands for your glory? And in what ways have you been at work in my own life? So let me pray for us as we continue this evening. Father, we thank you for this passage. I thank you just for the incredible story that is on display for us in Judges chapter 5. We pray that you would encourage us as we go from here to see where you are at work in and through us, to be still, to slow down, to be silent, to meditate upon your word and upon how you are at work in and through us. Father, I thank you for sending Jesus. I thank you for allowing him to go to the cross on our behalf and intercede for us. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.